Shomer Yisrael, Moshe Riz Yisrael, Al Yovad Yisrael, Omrim Shema Yisrael.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our play today, by Harold Rosenberg, is an adaptation of the original French of Jean Racine's classic drama, Athalie. Featured in the cast are Anne Seymour in the role of Athaliah and Raymond Edward Johnson as Jehoiada, the high priest.
Kings had reigned in Judah after David, and then a woman sat on the sacred throne, Queen Athaliah. Death and murder had placed her there, for her husband died in misery and her son was slain. Then Athaliah murdered her son's children, the heirs of David, so that she might rule over Judah. For 6 years, the murderess Athaliah sat islanded on her throne, surrounded and safeguarded by a sea of death. And Baal, the idol of sensuality, reigned with Athaliah in Jerusalem. And the queen hated God. And her Tyrian guards hunted those still loyal to David's house. And her priests of shame threatened the holy temple itself. Judah lay helpless under the terror of this hard, jealous woman when suddenly, one morning in her palace at dawn...
Go away.
The priest of Baal is here.
Huh?
It's Matan, madam.
Matan. Yes. Bring him here.
Queen Athaliah, are you safe? What has happened?
I was dreaming. I saw... Well,
praise to Baal. Only a dream. For a moment, I thought...
I was being murdered.
There's always the danger of conspiracy. The Hebrews are still not entirely pacified.
No, Matan. I've killed my enemies. The accursed race of David is destroyed. Jerusalem has never been more peaceful.
Queen, what then?
A dream. Why should a dream disturb me, Matan? I, who have been capable of any act. Listen. I seem to awaken in an endless night. Suddenly, my mother Jezebel was standing at my bedside at dawn, and with her eyes painted as on the day she died.
Are you afraid, Athaliah? Yes, you should be, my poor child. You too will fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, I pity you, my daughter. My daughter.
Then her shadow stooped over my bed, and I reached out to embrace her. My fingers touched a mangled corpse, rags soaked in blood, flesh and bones that dogs had fought over.
Great Baal. Exactly how Queen Jezebel was slain.
I swooned backwards into darkness. When I opened my eyes again, a young man stood before me in the white robes of a Hebrew priest. The sight of him revived me. His sweet face, his charm, his grace, soothed my heart.
Sweet boy, who are you? Your glance is so noble, as if you were of royal race. Tell me who... No, don't do it. No!
pale with the look of innocence on his face, the boy drew a dagger and stabbed me through the heart.
My queen, it is but a chance combination of things typical of a dream.
Oh, Matan, I try to think of it that way. But I've had this same dream before, and I cannot escape it. The youth stabs me again and again. The horror of it is haunting my mind. There is only one thing left to do. I must go to the temple of the Judeans.
Oh, don't venture among your enemies, my queen. Order the temple destroyed.
Be patient, Matan. It will surely come to that later. But now I must go there. I feel that in the temple I shall learn about the boy in my dreams.
At dawn on the day when loyal Judeans were to celebrate the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, celebrated in sadness for the wreck of David's house, Abner, a royal officer still loyal to Judea, came to the temple before services began. In the portico, he met the high priest, Jehoiada.
Happy holiday, O high priest.
Happy holiday, Abner.
We still say happy holiday. But alas, how times have changed, even for us who are not old. How joyful the temple used to be on this day, all covered with beautiful festoons and wreaths. And when the sacred trumpet blew, what crowds came through the gates, each man bearing the first fruit of his fields to the God of Israel. Now the people run to the shameful mysteries of Baal.
Malice of one woman has caused all this.
I fear she may go even further.
What more can this tyrant do? Already she's blotted out David's royal line by murdering her own son's children.
You yourself may be in danger, and this house of God. Athaliah is in a dark mood, and Matan, who rules her mind, speaks of the temple as if some secret menace were hidden here.
Suppose there were, Abner. Where would you stand?
What are you saying, Jehoiada?
For 6 years, an idol-worshipping alien has usurped David's throne, having dared to bathe her hands in the blood of our kings. And you, an officer trained in the camp of our great king, Jehoshaphat, stand as a prop in this criminal state.
You know I fear the God of Israel.
Then act.
What can I do? Since David's line was wiped out, Judah has lost its old daring. They feel that our God has forsaken us.
Forsaken us? Our generation has seen the lying prophets overwhelmed and heavenly fire fall on the altar. The powerful Jezebel dragged on the earth for her crimes.
But where is the promised reign of David that was to bring peace to the world?
Why do you doubt God's word?
Is not the tree of David dead to the roots? Can the babies that Athaliah slaughtered rise from the grave? If one had escaped, if only one son were left at David's house.
Suppose such a boy were alive.
Why, everything would be changed. Our faith would return, our tribes would rise. But why torment ourselves? We saw all the princes die.
I must go now to prepare for the morning prayers. Farewell, Abner.
You understand, Jehoiada, if there's anything I can do.
Abner, you will see that when God has promised, his will is done.
Jehoiada the high priest had a secret reason for his hope. For when Athaliah destroyed the royal seed, Joash, one of the king's sons, was stolen alive from among the slain and hidden from Athaliah in the house of the Lord. The boy served at the altar under the name of Eliakim, and none but Jehoiada and Jehoshaphat his wife knew who he was. But now, Athaliah was making even this dangerous security impossible.
I'm afraid we shall not be able to hide the boy much longer, Jehoshaphat. We must act, or see incense offered to Baal on the holy altar.
Jehoiada, what can we do?
Show the boy to the people and openly declare him heir to the throne today when every faithful Judean is at the temple. There is no other way. Only in an heir of David will the people find the courage to revolt.
But when Athaliah hears that a royal child lives, won't she order her foreign troops to attack the temple at once? Who will stand against her bands?
Our priests and our Levites.
Can their faith make warriors of them? Oh, Jehoiada, what can their innocent hands, always lifted in prayer, know of fighting and bloodshed? Won't Athaliah succeed once more?
Have you forgotten that the God of Moses, Joshua, and David fights on our side? God who protects innocent orphans and who hates tyrants?
Forgive me, my husband, but I still see that horrible room filled with young princes, and Athaliah, dagger in her hand, urging on the barbarian gods who are murdering them, and Joash bleeding, left for dead.
God wants us to trust him, Jehoshaphat. A king must sit on the throne of David.
So the end of the Shavuot services was set for the act of liberation. But as Jehoiada was offering the first fruits of the harvest on the altar, a dreadful event took place. Under the protection of an armed guard, Athaliah had come to search out the mystery of her dream. Leaving her men in the aisle, she strode forward alone to the altar like a sleepwalker, straight into the holy place where none but Levites may step. And Jehoiada the high priest turned upon her in rage.
Queen, I order you to quit this sacred ground. The house of God is forbidden to you for your crimes and your impiety. Begone!
Athaliah opened her mouth to speak. One could almost hear already her command to arrest the daring high priest. But suddenly, she seemed to freeze in terror, her eyes fixed on the altar and on the boy Eliakim, standing there in his priestly robes. Then her lips moved.
It is he. It is the boy of my dream.
So Athaliah, recognizing Joash, the true heir to the throne, as the boy who had stabbed her in her dream, fled in fear to her palace.
Oh, Matan, you Abner, what does it mean? There he was beside the high priest, the youth of my fear. It was he in the same white garb and with the same noble look. What is going to happen?
There is something frightful about this dream that changes into reality.
Ah, Abner, you saw him. Who is he?
I don't know. He has been serving at the altar for a year or more.
Why discuss the thing? We must make sure of him. If he is guilty, he must die.
What crime can the boy be guilty of?
Heaven has shown him to the queen with a dagger in his hand. What more do you ask for?
Blood seems to flow too slowly for you, O priest. Madam, what have you to fear? A dream, a feeble boy whom you thought you recognized. Perhaps you were mistaken.
I wish I were, Abner. Perhaps this dream has been in my mind too much. Very well. I shall have a closer look at him. Have him brought to me.
Oh, madam, I fear...
There can be no reason to refuse, Abner. Bring him. I command it. And let them remember the temple in which they worship still stands. It will not be well for the high priest to insult me again.
Do not be afraid, Jehoshaphat. Take Eliakim to her. You go with him. There will be great things done in Judah today.
Abner and Jehoshaphat brought the boy called Eliakim before the fierce, distracted queen, his grandmother, and she questioned him.
Who is your father? Answer me, boy.
They say I am an orphan.
You have no kin?
They abandoned me.
What country do you come from?
The temple is my country.
Who took care of you?
God never lets his children want. He feeds the sparrows in the field. He blesses everything that lives.
Abner, this child troubles me strangely. How can I hate him? I feel pity.
So this is the terrible enemy. Oh, it's plain your dream was false.
We will go now, madam.
No, not yet. Boy, how do you pass your time?
I pray to God. I study the law.
What does it teach, this law?
That one must love God, that he is just, that sooner or later he takes revenge.
He studies what all children do. Why do you answer for him? Let him speak for himself.
What can such a baby tell you?
He's too young to know how to lie. Let him answer my question. Yes, boy. God takes revenge.
God takes revenge on those who blaspheme his name.
What else does God do?
He is the defender of orphans. He humbles the proud and punishes crime.
I see. Now tell me, there are a great many men in this temple of yours. What do they do?
They pray to God.
And what pleasures do you have?
I assist the high priest at the service. I hear the singing.
That is all? Listen, boy, come to my palace. You will learn the joy of living.
The joys of the wicked soon run dry.
The wicked? Whom do you mean?
Please, madam, he is only a child.
I'm interested in the way you've been teaching him. Eliakim, you please me. You see, I am a queen and I have no heir. I want you to share what I have. You will be my son.
Your son?
Yes. What do you say?
To leave those who love me for...
Yes?
For a mother like you.
He has learned his lessons well. In everything he says, I see Jehoiada's hate. This is how you infect the youth and cultivate in them a horror at my name. I am satisfied. I wanted to see. I have seen. Go! We shall meet again! Matan, you are right. The temple must be destroyed. Muster my Tyrians. I entrust the task to you.
Most gracious queen, this is the happiest moment of my life.
Matan! Matan, come back! Quick, girl, go fetch Matan back.
Yes, madam.
Madam, I have...
I retract my command, Matan. You must not destroy the temple. No, no, not today. I have another plan.
Forgive me, queen, but all your plans seem to cancel each other.
I must see the boy Eliakim once more.
My queen, I have found out a few things about this boy. They have begun to boast of his ancestry. The Judeans...
It's just their plot to make him hate me. Matan, go to Yehoshaphat and say, the fire is kindled, the sword is raised. Nothing will keep your temple from destruction unless you send me this boy as hostage.
My friend, it is done. Their temple is finished.
Why, I heard the queen retracts and wants the boy instead.
Yes, but if they refuse, the temple burns.
They surely won't refuse. Would they let their temple fall for some boy they don't even know?
Nabal, you are dealing with a very proud people. Jehoiada will defy the cruelest death rather than surrender a child dedicated to the service of God. They will refuse, I tell you. The rest is up to me, and fire and sword will rid my eyes of them. Madam Yahashaba.
Yes?
I come from the queen with a message of peace.
That would be welcome.
It is rumored that your husband, the high priest, is involved in dangerous plots. Naturally, these charges are false. But the queen simply insists on a guarantee. The young orphan she saw here.
Eliakim?
Frankly, I regret that her highness gives so much weight to a mere dream. But you know how women are.
And that is the message of peace you bring?
Why should you complain? Are we taking your son? What is this boy to you? They say your husband has great plans for him.
You find such rumors useful.
Now tell me, madam, aren't these rumors true? You won't say? Well, suit yourself. But remember, before the day ends, the boy goes to the queen, or you will feel the wrath of her displeasure.
The storm is broken. The secret is almost out.
Matan, all but name, the father of the boy.
Let us hide him again. In the desert this time.
Let him go as a suppliant to King Yehu.
Poor boy. From the moment of his birth, they sought his life.
We shall not hide the boy. We shall rely on God alone and act before Matan's plans are ready. Ishmael, order the temple gates closed. And let all grown males assemble below to receive arms. Arm yourselves, sons of peace, with these swords and lances, which David consecrated here long ago to the God who shielded him from harm. And lo, here in my hands I hold the royal crown that rested once on David's brow. Come, let us crown our king and restore the sacred law.
By the scroll of the law, Jehoiada the high priest crowned the boy called Eliakim with David's crown as Joash, king of Judah.
Swear that you will punish evil and protect the innocent.
I swear.
And that you will never forget the poor, since you yourself were poor and an orphan.
I promise to follow the law of God. May he punish me if I depart from it.
With this sacred oil, I anoint thee king. Priests, Levites, Judeans, behold your king. With God, your single hope. Soon Athaliah will come to seek his life, and her barbarian hordes will besiege us here. My sons, do not be afraid. The God of Israel has troubled the murderess and the night, and he will spread his terror through her hosts.
Jehoiada! Jehoiada, the enemy soldiers have come. The temple is surrounded. I could see lighted torches among them.
They have not kept us waiting. Let us divide our forces. You, Ishmael, take your men and guard the eastern gate. You, Abram, take the south. You, the north. You, the west. Azariah, guard the king, and from the ramparts, let the people be told he lives. Each man shall stand his ground till death. The enemy expects unarmed victims paralyzed by fear. We shall surprise him. To your post, remnant of a valiant people. Let me have a sword. Jehoshaphat, bid the choir sing.
Prepared for the final assault, Athaliah hesitated to give the signal. Perhaps she could not bear to think that the boy Eliakim would hate her still more. So, with the battering rams poised, she sent Abner to Jehoiada with a last demand that he give up the boy peacefully. And to Abner's amazement, Jehoiada seemed to yield to force.
Let her come and take the boy. Only one thing. She may come with her chief officers, but her men must stay outside the walls. They shall not pillage the sanctuary. And Abner, the boy...
I swear I will protect him.
And Jehoiada set a trap for Athaliah.
How quiet it is, Matan. Are you sure?
No doubt they are hiding in panic. Ah, there is the high priest, posed like an ancient prophet in front of that screen.
So, Jehoiada, it was better to yield. Or are you still hoping for some miracle from your God? Come, where is the boy?
Remove the screen. There! Behold your king on his throne! Joash, your son's son.
Treason! Treason! God of the Judeans, you have done all this. You who set me against myself with dreams and with love, who confused me with pity, who beset me with vision.
God, take her away. Take her away, I say. Come, Judeans. Behold your king and renew through him Jacob's pact with the Lord. Now, king of the Judeans, begin your reign. Let not your heart be lifted up above your brethren. Never forget that power has its limits and its laws. That a judge of kings sits overhead. A judge who is the avenger of the innocent and the father of orphans.
Thank you.
And now, we present Rabbi Edward Schoenfeld of the University Heights Jewish Center. Rabbi Schoenfeld.
We have just heard the story of the queen who ascended the throne of Judah through murder and treachery, forsaking God and the principles of Judaism to worship false gods. On Tuesday next, the Jewish people will observe Tisha B'Av, the fast of the ninth day of Av, which commemorates the destruction of Jerusalem and the Holy Temple. Events which remind us of Jewish heroism and self-sacrifice in the highest degree. You recall the story of Hannah, who sacrificed her seven sons rather than permit them to worship idols. She believed in the one and only God, so she trained her sons to believe. They died gloriously, but they live everlastingly. Our children after us will only manifest such qualities as stir the admiration of the world if their mothers lead them to God, if their mothers live the religion which they desire their children to follow. The mother who kindles the lights on Sabbath Eve, which are the symbol of her religion, likewise kindles in the souls of her sons the light which only death can extinguish. Give me the mother who fills the fairy palace of her child's growing imagination with a story that points the way to unselfish service, and I will show you the mother who blesses herself and her child. Give me the mother who prays for and with her child in its most impressionable years, and I will show you the modern Hannah, whose fame will never depart from the lips of the young whom she blessed with her presence. When a mother rears her child to service, to a consecrated spirit of usefulness, she is doing her part to rear that temple of humanity which must yet be constructed by the united efforts of the nations of the world. The period that precedes the fast day of the ninth of Av is followed by the Sabbath of consolation and hope. The hope of the temple rebuilt and the return of our people to the land of Israel. Mothers will be the inspiration of that hope. Mothers who will lead their families heavenward to the prophetic mountain of humanity, toward justice and everlasting peace.
Thank you, Rabbi Schoenfeld. Today's script was an adaptation for radio by Harold Rosenberg of the French classic Atelier by Jean Racine. The music was composed and conducted by Morris Momorsky. The liturgical music was sung by Cantor David Siegel. The entire production was under the direction of Ed King. Featured in the cast were Ann Seymour in the role of Athaliah and Raymond Edward Johnson as Jehoiada the priest. This program is a weekly presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.